Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome to church and welcome to a brand new year 2020. Come on. 2020, not just a brand new year, but a brand new decade. Wow, we're beginning a whole new decade and it is exciting. We thank God for the past decade, but this next decade I think is going to be even more amazing. And we have a theme as a church this year, and it's an incredible theme. It's a statement, a very declarative, bold statement, and this is it: the kingdom of God first. We never apologize for putting God first. His kingdom will always be first. In fact, I would like us to declare that statement that is our foundation and theme for 2020, but also for the next year. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. The kingdom of God first. Father, I pray that as we begin this year, would you speak to us? Your word is powerful, your word is truth, and your word is a guide that will take us through this year and this coming decade. We give you honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to welcome those of you who are watching us online, wherever you are. We trust that God is with you, and be ready to be blessed by God's word. Now, every beginning of the year, people all over the world make what we commonly know as resolutions, New Year's resolutions. And I know for some of you, you've already even written out some of your resolutions. Anybody does that every beginning of the year? Yeah, we always have some idea of what we want the year to look like, and it may be in our hearts or in our heads, but we all look forward to something. Now, the most common resolutions that people make around the world are resolutions that concern their health. People want to be more healthy, and so what do? They sign up for the gym. Every January, gym signups go high because people want to go and work out. They want to be physically fit and lifting stuff and doing all. They will go and buy themselves a pair of running shoes, and they say, I want to walk, I want to jog. And so notice on the streets more people jogging. And by the time it is halfway Feb, the numbers have gone down. The gyms are half empty because somehow they couldn't sustain. And you know what the excuse they'll give? It rained, so I couldn't go. And then somehow they give up on that. But all over the world, people want to be more healthy. Maybe they want to even eat better. They said, this year, I'm committing to eat well. I'm going to eat fruit. I'm going to eat vegetables. I'm not just going to eat junk. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. So they're going to say, no more chocolate, no more sweet stuff. This year, I was listening to a report in Europe that the chocolate sales begin to pick up on the 3rd of January. And you know why? People who made a resolution, no more chocolate, 1st January, they are okay. 2nd January, oh boy, no chocolate, I'm gonna make it. By the 3rd of January, they say, you know what, there's another year coming, I can eat chocolate. So they will go and buy chocolate to compensate for all the days that they missed. But we make resolutions, want to be more healthier. Anybody here says, I want to eat less chocolate this year. Less chocolate. Thank you so much. I'm going to achieve your resolution today. Just eat only this one for this month, okay? Only this one for this month, all right? But we want to be more healthy. And so we make those resolutions. Then we also have financial dreams that we have, and we want to be in a financially healthy place. And so some of us make resolutions. These are piggy banks, my kids' piggy banks. We say, you know, this year I want to save more so that I'm in a better place financially. Oh, I want to grow my income. And so you're thinking of maybe different investments. You want your business to grow. All of those financial dreams that we have and resolutions. We want to get out of debt. And those are some things that people resolve to do every beginning of the year. So finances are key. Now I have here what I call also a desire box. There are certain things that we really desire to do whenever a year begins. For some of us, it may be this year, I want to get married. It's a desire. that we have. Maybe this year I want to start a new course that's going to help me on my career path. Or you want to finish a course that you were doing. All those that desire, put them in the desire books. Maybe you're saying, this year I want to start to build my home. Or I want to finish building my home. Or I want to buy a piece of property. I want to buy a car this year. Or I want to change a car. We have all those things that are fit into the desire books. All over the world, people make these kinds of resolutions. And these resolutions speak of things that matter to us. They're things that are important to us. And not being able to achieve these resolutions will impact on our happiness or even on our future. And so that's why we call them resolutions. We resolve these are the things we want. Now, sometimes the pressure that comes with trying to achieve these resolutions and knowing that it may be impossible to achieve them can begin to create concerns that lead us to worry. We even begin to be worried. Why? Because you know that last year you signed up for the gym, you only went to the gym twice. And you're trying to do it again. So repeated failure in some of our resolutions makes us to begin to be worried. We are worried in case we don't achieve our health goals, our life is going to be impacted. Our health matters. Maybe it's how am I going to get out of debt this year? Or how am I going to achieve something when I see limited finances? It begins to bring worry to us. But I'm so thankful that God is not unaware of the worries we carry. He has a solution to our worries. In fact, Jesus spoke to a crowd that was worried, and even to his disciples who were worried for the basic things in life. For them, all they wanted to have is, will I have a meal tomorrow? The very basics. Will I even have clothes? That's how desperate they were, and that is a high level of worry, and Jesus provides a solution in Matthew chapter 6. And here's what Jesus says. Therefore, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes. And then he says, look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or even store away in barns. They don't save food. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them every day. Are you not much more valuable than birds? I know that people travel from around the world to come to Uganda to see birds. They can pay lots of money to come and watch birds and take pictures of birds. They are amazed when they see marabou storks. They say, whoa, this is a big bird. They are amazed at the number of species of birds here. They're not very interested in people. But I'm here to tell you, you are much more valuable than the birds of the air. People may not come to see you, but there's a God who sees you. And he says you are more valuable. Can any one of you, Jesus says, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these flowers. If that is how God can clothe the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is chopped off and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, those who do not have God as their heavenly Father, they are the ones who run after all these things. And your heavenly Father is not ignorant. He knows that you need them. So here's the solution to the worries we may have concerning some of our resolutions and aspirations and visions that we have. Here's Jesus' solution. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. The kingdom of God first. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Just keep putting God's kingdom first. For tomorrow will worry about itself, and each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is saying to us, as we begin a brand new decade, he's saying to us, put the kingdom of God first in your life, and I will take care of the things that you are worried and concerned about. The kingdom of God first. If we decide to put things first, we will be frustrated in our lives. Pastor Franco was one of our pastors here, used to say this, that things understand the word of God. That if you decide to chase after things, the things will wander. We are the ones supposed to follow you. But now you're chasing us, they will run away from you very fast, because the things also want to follow God's word. You chase after things, you are going to be frustrated. Put God's kingdom first. Now we'll spend some more time in the next number of weeks and even months to understand what the kingdom of God is. But simply put, God's kingdom is his sovereign rule and reign and dominion over all of life. And we'll dig some more into it. So what does putting God's kingdom first look like? What is the picture? What is the picture of that? Now, there's two aspects to it. Everything we call a resolution is a priority to us. So our health is a priority, our finances and our goals and visions and ambitions and desires, they are a priority. But if I use this pulpit right here as a visual illustration of the kingdom of God, okay? This is what putting God's kingdom first means. In all your priorities, the priority of priorities should be the kingdom of God. It should rise above all these other resolutions you have. Put God's kingdom first. The kingdom of God first. So it's the highest priority that we must have. But secondly, it just doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is number one, and then I have number two, my health, number three, my finances. No, this is what it also means. Apart from the kingdom being the top priority, the kingdom of God must influence every other priority. Put God's kingdom first in your health. Put God's kingdom first in your finances. Put God's kingdom first in your desires and plans. That's what it means to put God's kingdom first. That's the picture. So how do we practically live out God's kingdom first? I'm going to give you two things today, and we'll continue to unpack what the kingdom of God first means for us as individuals and as a church, as a nation, because it's such a powerful thing that Jesus said. So this is how we practically live out God's kingdom first in our lives every day. Number one, we must reflect the culture of the kingdom of God in everything we do. Every kingdom has a culture. Every kingdom has a way of life. Putting God's kingdom first means we are going to live by the culture of God's kingdom that's found in his word. The principles, the values of God's kingdom need to be embedded in our lives every day. That's what it means to put God's kingdom first. Someone once said, how come Uganda is 80% Christian, but the behavior is 80% wicked? This is why people think putting God's kingdom first is only coming to church on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, they do these other things. Putting God's kingdom first means we reflect the culture of God's kingdom every day of our lives. In our eating, in our drinking, in our finances, the culture of Christ must invade all of that. But then the Bible says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There's eating that doesn't glorify God. When it comes to our finances, reflect the culture of the kingdom. Be generous. Put God's kingdom first. Tithe. Give an offering. That's how we let the culture of Christ influence our finances. In our dreams, we let God be first. Listen to what the book of Romans says. Romans chapter 12. It says this, bless your life before God. He becomes your priority. You live for him. So here's what I want you to do. In the Message version, it says, the first two verses of Romans 12. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Dedicate your entire life to God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture, the culture around us, that you fit into it even without thinking. Culture around us says, pursue these other things. We need to be countercultural. We are going to put the kingdom of God first. That's what he's saying here. Instead, fix your attention on God. Put him first. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you, what he wants you to do, how he wants you to live, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you that's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, when you put God's kingdom first, this is what he does. God brings the best out of you. He develops a well-formed maturity in you. When you put God's kingdom first by reflecting his culture, living by his principles of love and integrity and honor and forgiveness and servant leadership, once we decide to leave that culture and reflect it, this is what God says, I'm gonna bring the best out of you. Now, do you know every resolution is trying to make us better than we were the former year? We want to be better health-wise. We want to be better financially. We want to have a better thing in the future. So that's the desire. When you put God's kingdom first, he just doesn't make you better. Say, God says, I will bring the best out of you. What a promise from God's word. Put God's kingdom first. There is a you you have never seen. And God is saying, I will bring the best out of you. So putting God's kingdom first means we reflect his culture of the kingdom, the values of the kingdom, in what we do every day. But secondly, get actively involved in growing God's kingdom. Putting God's kingdom first means, God, I'm interested in your kingdom, and I want to see your kingdom grow. It's not enough for you to grow your business and grow your finances. That's very good. Do it. But as you do it, think about this. How am I going to let my business be involved in growing God's kingdom? It's just not enough for you to grow in your career desire, your career path. And by all means, grow in it. Go and do that course. Get that professional qualification. But when God has now promoted you and you're a manager at your workplace, don't just go to manage work and manage people. Go there to advance God's kingdom by bringing his values and his influence there. It's not enough for you to just be physically healthy. I hope you're not doing it so that magazines take your picture. Say, I want to be healthy enough so that I can actually live long enough to tell people about God's goodness. I want to be healthy enough and strong enough so that when I'm serving in the parking lot, I can do it for 5 services and come to Pastor Brian and say, Pastor Brian, why don't we do a 6th service? Because I'm ready to look after people's cars. Putting God's kingdom first means we are involved in growing his kingdom. Every kingdom wants to grow and expand. And God wants his kingdom to grow here on earth and expand. The only created beings Listen to this. The only creatures that can be involved in expanding and growing the kingdom of God are human beings. No other creature can be involved in that privilege. Animals cannot grow the kingdom of God. Even robots, however artificially intelligent they are, they cannot grow the kingdom of God. The only created beings that can grow the kingdom of God is you and me. Putting God's kingdom first means we are going to be involved in growing his kingdom. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came close to his disciples and said to them, "All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, go in my authority and make disciples of all nations." If somebody ever comes to you and says, "Who do you think you are to bring God's kingdom in my workplace? Who do you think you are?" Tell them, "Listen, I'm not here on my own. I'm an ambassador from another kingdom. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God, and I'm here on kingdom purpose." Let's never be ashamed to tell people about God. We must grow his kingdom by bringing people to him and discipling them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them faithfully to follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day to the completion of this age. In other words, when you decide, "I'm going to put God's kingdom first, I'm going to be involved in growing God's kingdom," this is what God says: "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in this process. We are not alone." That's why we are not ashamed to declare our theme this year: the kingdom of God first. If Kampala is going to be better, Kampala needs to put the kingdom of God first. If Uganda is going to be healed, Uganda must learn to put the kingdom of God first. And then everything we hope for Kampala, everything we hope for Uganda, God will make it happen. Let me say this. There are things that physical exercise and good diet can do for us. There are things. There are things that resources and finances can do for us. But there are many more things that money can never buy. There are many things that the gym and a healthy diet can never do. Those things can only be done by God. That's why Jesus said, "Don't be worried. Yes, pursue and do some of these things. Be financially intelligent and disciplined. Yes, look after your health. But when it comes to healing, God is the healer. When it comes to God supernaturally blessing you and producing favor in your life, money doesn't give favor. God gives favor, and he blesses the works of our hands." So when you put God first, God says, "I'm going to be involved in your life." So this year, the kingdom of God first. And how are we going to do it? Every day, live your life as a reflection of the culture of the kingdom of God. Live by his kingdom principles, and we'll talk more about them. But secondly, make God's agenda your priority. All of us have three things. We have time, we have talent, we have treasure. Use those three things to advance God's kingdom. I challenge you this time, this year, set time to serve God in this house. Say, "Pastor, I'm very busy." You can give God one weekend and say, "God, every weekend, one weekend in a month, I'm going to come and I'm going to help people park. I'm going to welcome guests." In your priorities, set time to be involved in advancing God's kingdom. God has given us talent. Oh, you are a brilliant manager. You are managing all these kinds of things. Say, "God, these managerial skills are not my own. I thank you, you have given them to me. I'm going to be involved in small groups. I'm going to be a cell leader. I'm going to be a section leader. I'm going to help how to manage these cells and see how we can grow the kingdom of God in our communities." We all have talent. We can use our talents to serve God. We all have treasure. Every one of us has a level of resource that God has blessed us with. This year, make up your mind that each time you receive an increase, God is going to be first. You're going to be a tither. You're going to be a generous person. God says, when you do your natural part, I will do my supernatural part. And everything you've longed for, I will even do more. Let me conclude today by giving you a story in the Bible of King Solomon. He's the one who took over from David. David, his father. He was a man after God's own heart, and David always put God's kingdom first. And he told his son Solomon, when you become king, don't throw a victory party and start putting your personal agenda first. He told Solomon, put God's kingdom first. And so here's what Solomon did when he became king. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 6 to 12, as I tie up the message today. It says, when Solomon became king, Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. He didn't throw a victory party. He went before the Lord. Put God first. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. If God came to you and gave you that blank check, what are you going to ask for? Are you going to ask for gym membership? Ask for whatever. Hear how Solomon, a man who puts God's kingdom first, responded. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to my father David, and you have made him king, and you have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. And these are God's people. The apple of God's eye. God was very concerned about the nation of Israel. And so Solomon says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon was saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's really about your people. Give me wisdom and knowledge so that I can pursue your agenda for these people. So that I put your kingdom first. That's what Solomon said. And here's what God said to Solomon. Verse 11. Since this is your heart's desire, you have decided to put my kingdom first by considering the people of Israel. You have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, not even the death of your enemies. Those are the common resolutions. We want health, we want honor, we want wealth. God says you didn't ask for any of that stuff. Because some of us, this year is the year of my enemies dying. That's your resolution. God says you have not asked for any of that stuff. Because I know they're important to you. You have still decided to put my kingdom first. This is what God said to him. And even you've not asked for long life. Solomon didn't even ask for long life. But you've asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king. You've decided to pursue my agenda first. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge I will give you. But in addition, I will also give you wealth and possessions and honor such as no king who was before you ever had and none after you will ever have. I'm going to do something that will never be repeated in history. Come on. Put God's kingdom first and all these things will be added to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, that's our theme for 2020. Let's declare it together. The kingdom of God first. When you're at home, what should come first? The kingdom of God first. At work, what should be first? The kingdom of God first. In your finances, what must come first? The kingdom of God first. In your business, what must come first? The kingdom of God first. When we put the kingdom of God first, and it's a priority and influences everything in our lives, get ready. God will do something for us as Watoto Church, for you as an individual, for this city of Kampala, and for our nation of Uganda. He will write some history in Jesus' name.
Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portodochurch.com.